Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on books, gear, festivals, trails, health, fitness, events, and more. This podcast is number 27 and it's going out on September the 12th. And that is, among other things, Chocolate Milkshake Day, Video Games Day, Stand Up to Cancer Day, and World Dolphin Day, as well as International Cloud Appreciation Day. So I guess that means if you see a cloud crossing a border, it's an international cloud, so you have to appreciate it. It's also the day of the first episode of Bonanza, the first TV show consistently in colour. That was in 1959, and 3 years later it was the day President Kennedy gave his "We Choose to Go to the Moon" speech. And if today is your birthday, first, I hope it's a good one, and you share it with Jesse Owens, Barry White, and Hans Zimmer. I'm still recovering from COVID, mostly okay, other than a piercing cough. So there's not been a lot of walking done over the past week, except to the cupboard for cough syrup. And that's not really that exciting. Last time on the podcast, we had a conversation about the High Weald Walking Festival, lovely part of the country. This week, we're talking about Walk and Talk for Mental Health, with its founder and CEO, Jude Price. But of course, before we get to the interview, we have our usual look at some of this week's articles on WalkingPost.com. If you do have news, guest ideas, or even subjects to cover, or you have comments or want to advertise, please get in touch via WalkingPost.com, or you can just email me at jim@WalkingPost.com. Okay, so let's go through some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on WalkingPost.com in the past week. There's a new app called Walk the World, where you walk and pretend you're somewhere else. In the US, Out of Darkness Walks are promoting suicide awareness, and Olight has unveiled its Arc Pro series of lights. Some bad news perhaps for walking, as the USDA in the US is looking to strip protection from the development of 45 million acres of forests and land. A scientific report says regular walking can prevent chronic back pain, and the Griffin Trail in North Northamptonshire is being well used. A new trail in the far north of England has been launched, and it's called the Roof of England Walk. And, as you can imagine, it includes Cumbria, Northumberland and Durham, with a bit of North Yorkshire thrown in. The walk is 188 miles long, and as it's the Roof of England, just watch out in case any tiles fall off. Maybe that's just known as rain. There's some really nice new rain gear being launched with patterns that look kind of like those colourful weather maps, and you can read all of these and more at www.walkingpost.com. One conversation again this week, and it's about walking and mental health. Now, we all know that mental health is a far bigger issue than we ever realised, but one good thing is that people are talking more, and there are lots of groups dedicated to helping with mental health issues. One group doing that through walking is Walk and Talk for Mental Health, which is based in Hampshire. To tell us more about the charity is Jude Price, the founder and CEO of Walk and Talk for Mental Health. Thanks so much for joining us, Jude, and I wonder if first you could tell us a little bit about Walk and Talk for Mental Health.
Okay, so Walk and Talk for Mental Health came about in 2020 during the COVID pandemic. Yeah, I was aware that there was a lot of people who were going through various things who wanted to get out and talk to people. So initially we set up one-to-one, or as the restrictions lifted, we set up one-to-one walks so that people could come out and talk about where they were with their mental health. And then as restrictions lifted even more, we started setting up group walks so that people could communicate with each other. Was aware that there was a sort of growing demand for mental health care, and in particular for free non-clinical support. Our mission is very much about normalizing conversations about mental health and challenging stigma. So our philosophy is that we want to change the language and perception around mental health.
That's excellent. Yeah, and especially in this day and age, it seems to be more and more prevalent. Do you have any kind of stats on mental health and maybe any that connect to the benefits of walking in connection with that?
Yeah, so minds are always good for stats on mental health, and probably one that we think of quite a bit is that one in six adults in any given week experience symptoms of common mental health disorders, whether that's depression, anxiety, burnout, stress, and evidence that walking and talking works. There's a study done by Harvard Health which shows that as little as 10 to 20 minutes out in the fresh air walking can measurably reduce stress and impact or improve mental health. And then also the British Journal of Sports Medicine, they say that walking groups actually highly improve mental health outcomes. So yeah, there's quite a bit being done on the effect of being outside in nature and the effects that has on mental health.
I think even without the stats, a lot of people that, well, you've done Lands End to John O'Groats, you kind of instinctively know that you just feel better when you're outside walking. And I don't know, you don't really need the stats or the science behind that, but it just feels that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that it's very easy to look outside and see that, you know, it might be a bit grey or something and think, oh, you know, it's not very nice, I won't walk. But actually, once you're out there, the impact is just immeasurable. Yeah.
For your own organisation, where are the walks that you do and what does that consist of?
So at the moment, we are Hampshire based. So we do walks in Andover, Basingstoke, Romsey and Borden. Each walk is weekly, so we try to make sure they're consistent so people know that they've got someone that they can come and talk to on a weekly basis. We set them up at different times of day to try and attract different groups of people. So we have daytime walks, we have evening walks, we do lunchtime walks, which were designed to try and get people out of offices and walking in their lunch times. And each walk is between 30 to 45 minutes long. The reason being that we would rather encourage people to come out who maybe haven't walked for a while, maybe if they're on long-term sick leave or whatever, they might not feel up to walking long distances. So we try to accommodate people that don't walk as far as maybe other people, but then we can signpost people to other walking groups if they want more challenging, longer walks.
Are there any kind of limiting factors, like do you have enough volunteers, that kind of thing?
Never have enough volunteers, no. Every walk has at least one walk leader and they're trained as a mental health first aider. So I train people as mental health first aiders. And we're trying very hard to get each walk to have at least two walk leaders. And also, as we grow and set up more walks, then obviously we need more walk leaders. So always open to volunteers.
Right. And how do people do that?
We've got a website which people can contact us via. We're on social media and we're starting to build up quite good contacts with local social prescribers, health hubs, GPs, that sort of thing. So gradually we're getting our name out there.
The opposite side of that, how do people join a walk? Do they need to be referred or can they just show up?
Again, it's a mixture, so people can just show up, absolutely. We make it as accessible as possible, so if people hear about it, you know, they don't need to book, they can just come along. But then we also, as I say, with our sort of links to health hubs and social prescribers and GPs now, we do get some referrals, which is very rewarding, seeing people come along who maybe are lacking in confidence about certain things, and then they find our walks and actually go away feeling really good, having made friends and sort of become part of a community group. So it's very rewarding.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because obviously if people are shy or nervous, it must be for some people quite a step to even reach out to come on one of these walks. Quite difficult for some people.
We offer phone calls before a walk if people want us to ring them and introduce ourselves. So yeah, we're well aware of that. Part of the reason I set up Walk and Talk was due to my own mental health issues in the past. And certainly I know what it's like to feel on the outside and need sort of encouragement. So I hope that reflects now in what we do, in that we show that empathy and consideration for people that might not be in the best place. Yeah.
Right. Have you always been a walker? Have you? I know you mentioned you did the Land's End to John O'Groats, but was that like just a spur of the moment thing, or have you always been a walker?
I've always been a walker, yeah. So had a traumatic childhood, and I think my lifesaver was that I would walk. So that was always my go-to to get any respite from anything that I was going through. So yeah, walking has always been a big part of my life.
No, that's, have you done other big walks other than the Land's End to John O'Groats?
So I did the part of the Test Way. So I did a 26-mile walk along the Test Way, which is through Hampshire. Yeah, I've done a few quite long walks, but nothing quite as long as Land's End to John O'Groats. Although at some point I am thinking I might do John O'Groats back to Land's End and call it Coming Back Stronger. But yeah.
How long did it take you?
It took 3 months and I camped a lot of the time, but then I had a few people putting me up in different places, and it was an amazing life-changing experience in that I met some fantastic people en route, people that wanted to share their stories, people that were inspired by my story, and then people who just wanted to know more about Walk and Talk and how to get involved. So yeah, it was an incredible journey.
For confidentiality, you can't name or identify anybody, but what kind of feedback or positive results have you seen from Walk and Talk?
We've had a couple of people that have come to us who really had no idea what they wanted to get out of it, other than they needed to do something. And then after talking to our walk leaders, realized that, you know, they just needed to open up and talk through where they were at. And both people that I'm thinking of who were sort of probably two of our first attendees, both have gone on to be advocates for our charity and actually are just a really good testament to what we offer.
How many people do you usually get on the walks? I suppose it varies.
It varies a lot. We have one walk in particular that has 8+ people every week. And that, I would say, is our sort of flagship group. They're amazing. And they all support each other outside of the walk. They've built sort of their own little community group. Other walks, we get anything from 2 to 6 people on a walk. We've got a couple of walks that we actually are doing some collaborative work on to try and encourage more people to come along. So anything from a couple to 8+.
And so how do you kind of see the future of this organization growing, changing, partnerships?
We're a small charity, but with big ideas. So, yeah, we're hoping to become more encompassed in the future of mental health or discussions around mental health. We're working very closely at the moment with getting in line with the NHS. Is 10-year program to become more community based. So in actual fact, what we're offering really sits very nicely with that. And also to build up collaborations with local businesses who want to, you know, get involved. We actually have started a partnership with a group called Bluebird Care, which is a caregiving organisation in Hampshire. They are starting to do collaborative walks with us and then, you know, bring their staff and families and people that they care for along. So that's sort of the beginning of where we're at with starting those partnerships, yeah.
Do you have any ideas of branching out into, I don't know, Dorset, Sussex, Scotland?
Absolutely. I mean, we're concentrating on Hampshire at the moment while we get our blueprints sorted in terms of how we recruit new walk leaders, how we monitor the walks, that sort of thing. But once we have that well and truly under our belt, then yeah, we are looking to roll it out to other places. So yeah, we could be up in Scotland in a few years' time.
Oh, that would be nice. And if you need volunteers, I would absolutely, in a heartbeat, volunteer to do that.
Well, there you go. I think we've already signed you up.
Well, no, but I think there are a lot of people that love walking, and I'm sure that there are so many people that if they were made aware of something like this would love to be able to try and help and give back, and even if it's just, you know, leading a walk every once in a while. So I'm sure it has the capacity to, and you're touching dozens of people in Hampshire, but it has the capacity to help thousands, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you. And it's encouraging to hear that, even though we feel that we're doing a great job and that there is the need. Sometimes you get so involved in the just running of it. So it's really nice to hear that.
Well, and the other thing is as well, if you've helped one person, it's worth it. So I'm sure it's clearly done more than that already. If you've got groups of 8 and 6, and do you go out in the winter as well?
So when we started it, our walk leaders were extremely hardy and we would show up every week regardless. The only week we didn't walk was Christmas, We've since changed our policy very slightly in that November through to February, if walks aren't already running regularly, we put a clause in there that new people need to contact us to see if the walk is running, because that way it means that walk leaders aren't going out in all weathers when nobody turns up. But yeah, we're generally fine about walking all weathers and hope to encourage other people that as long as you've got the right clothing and you're wrapped up warm if it's cold, then actually walking is just as pleasurable in the rain and snow as it is in the hot sunshine.
And especially with the group, there's nothing better than after a cold walk going to a cafe for a coffee or a hot chocolate or whatever.
Absolutely. And you feel good about yourself because you've pushed yourself to do something. So, yeah.
We tend to think about school age as not being kind of a part of this, but clearly mental health is a big issue in schools as well. And I wonder, like, this would be something that would be great for schools, not just as participants, but as leaders.
Children are welcome to come on our walks. Anyone under 16 though needs to be accompanied by a responsible adult. We tend to get more adults than we do children, but we are actually very open to and have done a couple of projects with colleges and things. So getting young adults, teenagers to come along is quite important. But everybody is welcome. And especially if you've got a dog, bring a dog, because dogs tend to be real conversation starters if people are feeling slightly anxious or don't know what to talk about.
Is there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't talked about?
As I say, we're just trying to make sure that people know we're about, that we're a very friendly, welcoming bunch of people. And if you want to have an open conversation about whatever stage you're at with your mental health, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, we're there.
It's always great to see groups making a big difference, and hopefully that's an organisation that goes from strength to strength, and hopefully it makes it to Scotland and everywhere else throughout the UK. I'm sure there are plenty of people willing to help. It is a shorter podcast, but I'll spare everyone one of my rants. 2 weeks in a row might just be too much. I do still have plenty of subjects, though. I did also get some supportive emails in agreement with my frustration at people who get to the destination but cut out the walking. I guess I'm not even bothered by that. It's more the pretending to have walked it that I find annoying. And it seems to be the same for others too, judging by your emails. Anyway, that's it for another podcast. If you have news or suggestions for guests, please do get in touch through jim@walkingpost.com. And if you have a subject that makes you mad about walking, as long as it's not this podcast, I'd love to hear about that too. No walking this weekend as I am travelling, and besides, the forecast isn't great and I'm still recovering from that bad cough. Not that bad weather should stop you from walking. It's a great feeling having maybe a warm shower or a bath after a wet walk, and then a steaming hot cup of tea, chocolate or coffee, depending on your preference. So, I hope you enjoyed this week's interview on walkingpost.com, and I hope that you have a great week, hopefully with a walk involved. Don't forget your cagoule. Is that even a thing anymore, or does that just make me sound really ancient? So, until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.